kind of legalism, even contempt for the teachings of Christ. My old teacher often displayed a lot of contempt for the teachings of Christ. Turned the other cheek, he had a really contemptuous view of that. As well as the teachings of Genesis, there's a lot of contempt for what's written there, and they choose to believe a different story, a fable. And they're following in the footsteps of the very people they claim to be the greatest enemies. Now, they've come to believe that they have descended from Israel through some very suspicious and poor sources of information, books by E. Raymond Capt and other identity writers, which are, they don't realize, are horribly written and which are actually not factual. There's not factual information contained in these things, but they are presented as fact and they want to believe it, so they do. But setting aside the completely fictional nature of their claim, let's presume that it's true. They are descended from Abraham. They are the children of Israel. The very way they emphasize that puts them in the same camp of racial pride as the Jews of Jesus' day. The way they go about corrupting the scriptures makes them not the children of Abraham. This did not Abraham, and they become as the Jews of Christ's day, who Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. They were spiritually the children of the devil, and literally, carnally, the children of Abraham. So these also could be the same thing. They could be the literal children of Abraham through the migrations into the north and all this real fiction, but they believe it. But let's grant them that. You are descended from Abraham. But you are not Abraham's children. Why? Because you do not the works of Abraham. Because you do not respect the scriptures with the respect they are due. The way you go about corrupting the scriptures and handling them like barbarians makes you more barbarian than Israelite, at least in the spirit. But the identity movement, they claim to be something they're not. They claim to be Israel, descended from Israel, but they're not descended from Israel. No, they're lying. This is made up. This is fiction. I'm not saying the identity movement or my former church, the Shepherd's Chapel, is the synagogue of Satan, but they are a synagogue of Satan at the very least. In fact, that is what it says here in Greek. From what I understand, the word the, that are the synagogue of Satan in verse 9 actually should be translated, they say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. What is a synagogue? You know, synagoge means a gathering together. Interesting, the church is not called a synagoge. It's called a ecclesia. It means called out. Whereas a synagogue means gathered together, brought together. But really, a modern church is a lot more like a synagoge than it is like a ecclesia. It's not so much a calling out as a calling in. And maybe this is code for false churches, false doctrines. Could it be that this synagogue of Satan refers to false churches that oppose Smyrna and Philadelphia? That very well could be. The idea of Jews could be code for Christians. And it could be sort of drawing a parallel between the time of Christ, where the people of God turned away from God and opposed the Son of God. And so also in the last days, the other churches, the five, what happened to them? Their candlesticks are removed out of their places. From the pronouncements against them, it sounds like they were going over to the devil. And so that five of the seven churches may become synagogues of Satan before everything is done. But they will be calling themselves Christians, and they will be liars. They call themselves Jews, but do lie. They call themselves Christians, but do lie. They say they are the church, but do lie. I think it'll become most apparent when the end times finally come and these things are fully open to us. The unwise will not understand, but the wise will. And God will give us that wisdom so that we may understand when those days come. He says, fear none of those things which you suffer. You shall suffer things. If you want to live godly, you're going to suffer. If you want to serve Christ, that means suffering. It is given you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. Christianity is about suffering. That's a message people don't want to hear. They want to hear Christianity is about just good things for them, positive things for their family. And while I want positive things for my family, and I do believe that there is blessings in Christ in this world and in the world to come, I do know that Sometimes suffering is the best thing. In our lives, there's a time for suffering. There's a time for blessing. There's a time for taking the blessings away. There's a time for ease and comfort. And there's a time when comfort and ease should be taken away. Everything's beautiful in its season. You know, there's a time for raising up a family and living in peace. And there's also a time when your life must be forfeit for the cause of the gospel. So we want to live in all things mindful of the times we're living in and what is expected of us in Christ in the end times. You know, I said Smyrna was one of those churches that isn't going to be removed from its place. And you see in chapter 11, that church, you know, that their dead bodies shall lie in the street. They're going to be overcome and killed. And that's just the way it is. That is glorious. I don't want to be raptured. I don't think that's glorious. I think it's cowardly. At least I don't believe it's true. The idea of fleeing away from the trouble. I want to go headlong into it. You know, they've been telling me since I was a young man that I was in the end times. And since that time, I've wanted it to be true. I've wanted it to be true because I wanted to live in those times. I remember when I was a teenager, I believed in the rapture, but I hated it because I thought I would miss out on the most amazing time that the earth will ever see. Spectacular and catastrophic, but I wanted to see it. I mean, maybe it's some sort of perversity in me, but I wanted to see it. If you want to do great things in Christ, you know, it doesn't involve living in a giant house behind a gated community like many of our great ministers of today do. They live in giant houses with security fences and no one in their congregation gets anywhere near them. They are superstars who do not associate with lesser men. But that is not what we have been called to in Christ if we really want to be great. If you want to be great in Christ, it's going to mean suffering. There's no way you can be great in Him without suffering. Mentally, I visualize some famous TV preacher in his suit, and then I visualize him in a painted portrait hanging in that church. Is that going to hang in the halls of heaven in a place of honor? He built such a rich church. He built a church where thousands could gather and listen to him talk, and where he could gather in so much money that he could buy a house that cost the same as what could house dozens of families. And he lived in luxury all the days of his life. No such faces will hang in any place of honor in God's court. Superstars.